Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Quality Power Electrical Equipment Limited Q2 FY26 conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as of the date of this call. These statements are not guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Siddharth Bambre from Asit C. Mehta Investment. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining Q2 FY26 earnings call of Quality Power Electrical Equipment Limited. I would like to thank management of Quality Power to give this opportunity to Asit C. Mehta Investment Intermediates Limited, a Pantomime Group of companies, to host this call. Quality Power's revenue growth demonstrates healthy growth momentum, and to dwell more on the results, I'm pleased to invite company management. Today, we have with us Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Rajesh Jeyaraman, Chief Business Officer, Mr. Sanjog Mathre, Senior Vice President Finance, Mrs. Sarika Jadhav, and Joint Managing Director, Mr. Varnidharan Pandian. Over to you, Varni.
Thank you, Siddharth, and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us for the Q2 and H1 financial year 26 results call. The high-voltage electrical equipment industry continues to experience strong, sustained demand across global markets, driven by the energy transition, renewable energy integration, and grid modernization. These structural tailwinds are creating a multi-year opportunity cycle, and Quality Power is well-positioned at the core of the transformation. At the same time, we are operating in an environment marked by supply chain constraints. The industry is witnessing delays in critical inputs. HVDC magnet wires now require BIS license, which has slowed import approval since the Indian capacity is already booked out for the next year, while insulators and bushings remain tight in global supply. Despite these challenges, our teams have delivered with remarkable precision and consistency. I want to place on record my appreciation for the agility and commitment in ensuring customer deliveries and project continuity. In Q2, we achieved consolidated total revenues of 218.9 crores, representing a 112% growth year-on-year, and maintained strong profitability with a consolidated EBITDA margin of about 22.5%. While short-term supply disruptions may influence quarterly trends, we remain fully confident and committed to achieving our annual guidance and growth sustainably. Our order book stands at around 830 crores, maintained with discipline to protect margins and execution quality. We are seeing a very strong quotation pipeline across utilities, renewable developers, data centers, and industrial users, reflecting the growing global preference for our technology. We are now entering a phase of major capacity enhancement and technology expansion, designed to make Quality Power not only one of the largest but also one of the most advanced manufacturers in our segment. Meru continues its strong growth momentum, and with the new lines being commissioned, is on track to become both the largest and most cost-competitive producer in its category. In short, we are navigating short-term challenges with resilience while building long-term strength through technology, scale, and operational excellence. I thank our employees, partners, and investors for your continued trust and belief in our journey. I now invite our Chief Business Officer, Mr. Sanjog Mathre, to speak about our business outlook. Thank you. Jai Hind.
Thank you, Mr. Varnidharan Pandian. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It's a pleasure communicating with you this wonderful afternoon. Our order book remains strong, and so does our tender pipeline across companies and geographies, providing solid visibility across all our major business lines. The demand environment for high-voltage equipment continues to be extremely robust, particularly from utilities investing in transmission expansion, grid strengthening, and renewable integration. During the quarter, we achieved historic order wins in the HVDC segment, including high-voltage smoothing reactors from Rihand Dadri LCC HVDC project, which is one of India's most critical transmission corridors, and converter reactors for a VSC-HVDC project in a G20 nation. These represent landmark achievements and reaffirm our global engineering capability. We also secured multiple orders globally for STATCOM and PACS applications, further strengthening our leadership in power quality systems. On the GIS front, we have entered into a strategic partnership with Yosun to bring gas-insulated instrument transformer technology to India. This partnership positions Nehru at the forefront of the growing GIS market as utilities and industries transition from AIS to GIS substations for enhanced reliability and compactness. This collaboration also presents significant global export opportunities as we evolve into a key technology provider in this space. Internationally, we secured large PACS orders in Sweden for a steel facilities grid stabilization project. A strong endorsement of our technological expertise and European market presence. We continue to receive encouraging traction from the US market despite the tariff pressures. While global component availability remains challenging, considering the geopolitical sensitivities that are ongoing, our teams have managed planning and execution with exceptional agility and focus. The immediate elections after Diwali and the Chhath Pujas have also meant the suppliers have had little issues with labor, which again may impact supply chain this quarter. We are doing our best to ensure the same is minimized to our best efforts. Looking ahead, we remain optimistic. The pipeline across HVDC, PAC, GIS and high voltage utility products continues to expand, supported by the global energy transition wave, the accelerating grid investments. With disciplined execution, technology depth, and a strong balance sheet, Quality Power is well positioned to capture the next phase of global growth. Thank you, and over to you, our CFO, Mr. Rajesh Jeyaraman, please.
Thank you, Sanjog. Good afternoon, everyone. I would like to present a concise summary of our financial results for the second quarter and first half of financial year 26. For the quarter, consolidated revenue stood at Rs. 218.9 crore, a growth of 112% year-on-year and 13% sequentially. Growth has been broad-based across PACS, HVDC, and high-voltage power quality segments, supported by strong international demand and disciplined execution. EBITDA stood at Rs. 49.4 crore, up over 200% year-on-year, with margins at 22.5%, reflecting healthy operating leverage and cost efficiency. PBT was Rs. 44.3 crore and PAT stood at Rs. 35.2 crore, maintaining profitability in line with expectations. In the first half, revenue reached Rs. 413 crore, up 126% year-on-year, with EBITDA at Rs. 97.7 crore, a 67% rise, and gross margin maintained at 40%. What is encouraging is that we have already exceeded last year's total revenue within the first 6 months of financial year 26. Nehru has delivered a significant improvement in operational margins this quarter to about 12%, driven by higher capacity utilization, product mix optimization, and operational discipline. With new capacities and global orders, we expect further strengthening in both volume and profitability. Across the group, we are consciously investing in manpower, systems, and infrastructure to prepare for next phase of growth. While these initiatives have a short-term impact on margins, They are strategic investments aimed at building scale, enhancing automation, and pursuing us for sustained performance in the coming years. On the inorganic front, our plans remain firmly on track. We are extremely disciplined on valuation and return of capital, ensuring every opportunity aligns with our long-term shareholder value approach. With private market valuations in India running high, we are also actively evaluating global opportunities that align with the philosophy of technological depth, cultural fit, and prudent valuation. We hope to share positive developments on this front soon. Our order book stands at ₹830 crore, providing clear revenue visibility, and our guidance for the year remains on track. With a strong balance sheet, prudent capital allocation, and disciplined execution, Quality Power is well positioned for next phase of growth and value creation. Thank you. Now I open the floor for discussion.
Thank you very much, sir. We'll now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question comes from the line of Sudarshan Padmanabhan. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. Sir, my question is to understand a little bit more on Aero's profitability. You know, how is it, you know, being delivered and how do we see the profitability there? You know, second is, you know, we have this, you know, arrangement with Norsung for the, you know, gas insulated switch. So when do we see the, you know, start of the sales on that side and how do we see the margins in the GIS?
Sudarshan, I'm sorry, your voice was very low. However, what I'm given to understand is you're looking at the margin profile of Nehru improvement and the markets of GIS. So coming from the product itself, I believe has a lot of scope for margin improvement at high voltage segment, especially at 220 kV and above, considering the lack of competition not only in India, globally. We are currently constrained by capacity rather than the order book at that division, and our order book there is in excess of 375 crores as on date. The GIS and the global markets are some of the what we say product mixes we are trying to introduce to be able to link up the value chain of the company. The GIS is between 200 to 300 crore import substitution product, which is currently being developed by Nehru in collaboration with Chosa. The plant has already been audited. We believe that globally the markets are between 2 to 3,000 crores for this product, again with less than a half a dozen competitors outside of China. So this, along with some of the international orders that we even won a couple of weeks back in Denmark, for the grids in Denmark, where the prices are far better than the domestic markets, and with the changing order book, we remain positive on the outlook of Nehru's margin expansion. The order book expansion is already constrained by capacity at this moment.
Yeah, sure, sir. And when do we expect the you know, commercial supply to start? I mean, that should happen in the next couple of quarters on the GIS side.
We have these are R&D products, Sudarshan, cannot be have a, like a D-Day because it's a development story. We are going ahead with a 220, 400 and 765 kV level of development. We have stages internally. We have guided the market by a year. We should be able to have a commercial product on the market. If there is something sooner, we shall let the community know.
Sure, sir. And sir, with you know, scale up happening on Aero as well as the newer divisions, how do you see the working capital? For the next year, the next 2 to 3 years, not necessarily in the next year term.
Yeah. We are generating good profit when we are self-sufficient. So I don't see at the moment any incremental working capital at the moment.
I would also like to add, Sudarshan, that we are already sitting out of cash in all the companies. There can be a little bit of working capital challenges at the divisional level, but as a group, we are sitting on excess of 200 crores of cash. So we are almost zero debt when you look at a net debt push.
Sure. I understand that, but I was just trying to understand, if we generate more cash, we'll obviously deploy that cash into the business. So working capital days in that sense, how would it move? And if you're able to curtail it, obviously the growth, given that there is a huge demand, we can keep investing into the business as we see a long runway, of course. That was the thought process.
And Mr. Sudarshan, the working capital will remain more or same only. So, it is to be stable only, constant. So no change.
Sure, thanks a lot. Yeah,
thank you so much. Our next question comes from the line of Nimish Sundar from Elara Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity and congrats on a very strong set of results for this quarter. Sir, just wanted to know, could you give the revenue and the PAT split for the Quality Power, Endox and Mehru? And the order book also, if possible.
I don't have the exact numbers, but I think the Nehru is a slightly excess of 325 crores. Quality Power is, if I'm not wrong, around 285 or 290 crores, and the rest would be Endox. In the next few quarters, we will also be consolidating Sukrut.
Oh, this is for the order book, right, sir?
This is for the order book.
Okay. And the revenue, if possible?
The revenue, I think if you look at the individual revenue of Quality Power, it is already stated in the balance sheet. My colleague, Sarika, can read this.
Our revenue for the 6 months ended is 92 crores for the standalone parent company. Nehru's revenue is 78 crores for the quarter, and our Endox revenue is 73 crores for the quarter.
Okay, thank you. And could you highlight the order pipeline for the remaining half of the year? If you are expecting any major orders in the second half of the year, like Q1 and Q2 have been strong, so any more orders in the rest half of the year?
The fourth pipeline is very strong across all the divisions. Depends on the region which they are bidding, the order flow will go in. In India, we see normally most of the orders coming in for the first quarter of April. In the European market, it is normally the third quarter. And in the US market, it's normally the first quarter again. January quarter in the US market. So we do not have a problem at this moment at a court profile where we don't seem confident. So we will be exceedingly taking more orders.
Okay. Thanks, sir. And all the best.
Thank you, sir. Our next question comes from the line of Sanjaya Satapati from Amberset Capital. Please go ahead.
Is it possible for you to give some kind of guidance in terms of short and medium term revenues? And you mentioned something about some margin pressure and in the near term due to supply chain issues and capacity expansion. But at the same time, you are doing a lot of this backward integration. If you can just give us a flavor as to what kind of cost initiative that you can take. These are the two questions I have.
Sir, on the long term or what we say short and medium term, we have already guided the market to between 700 to 800 crores in revenue and about 20% in margin. If you look at the current revenue statements, we are about 413 crores 6 months. So we can see that the guidance is there. The margins are also at excess of 20%. So we do not see a problem that way. What we are just guiding the market is that the Chhath Puja holidays may impact some of the local supply chain at our vendor profile, which is guiding to the market, but we do not see any alarming positions at any point. Our Turkey subsidiaries are not impacted by that, neither some of our other ventures that are coming in. Given on the product profile, if you go to the earnings presentation that we have uploaded today morning on the website, We have given a comprehensive technology overview of the company, guiding you what all product segments that we are operating in and what all technology segments we are operating in. It gives you a highlight that we are just not a HVDC or a fax player. We also operate in HV, medium, and also the GIS market. So some of the reasons why we are also venturing on the backward integration is because of scale at which we are coming in the next year with a new facility. It is more than 9x of our current capacity. We are trying to ensure that we are not relying fully on outward supply chain. So that is the only reason why we are doing. We have also added more than 140 or 150 people in this quarter, in the last quarter, to be able to, what we say, ramp up and train them for when we shift to the new facility. These are some small incremental costs. As our revenue starts going up, I think this would get stabilized. So at this moment, we do not see a problem with the margin guidance of about 20%. Our current guidance is between 700 and 800. If we decide to surprise, we will let you know in the third quarter. And the guidance after that, we should be able to give you some good pictures in the third quarter presentation once we have a steady order book. Our order pipeline is quite heavy on the tender pipe. And most of the things are around that December-January phase. And that is when we can give you a better guidance for the next year.
Thanks a lot, sir. And you're not looking to revise your revenue guidance of 800 crore, considering that you've already done more than 400, huge first half.
At this moment, as I said, Q3 would tell you where we are exactly, because when we would like to stick to our guidance, whatever is given, and our first focus is to ensure we execute that guidance before we supply the market.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Abhijit Singh from Systematics. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity, sir. And good to see such great results. Also, very, very strong recovery in metal margin. Very positive.
Abhijit, I'm sorry, you're not audible.
Okay. Sir, is it better now? Am I audible?
Far better.
Yeah. Sir, so first question is on Meru's margin profile. Now we have done an exceptional job moving from 8.2 to 9.5 in Q1 and 12 in this quarter, as far as the EBITDA margin is concerned. And sir, you mentioned that this is partly due to, you know, higher capacity utilization, improved mix and operational efficiency. Now sir, going forward, in subsequent quarters, how do we see the margin profile for Meru and what are the key factors that would drive it? Because as far as I understand, you are already running at about peak capacity utilization levels for Meru. Now we are expanding, we are putting in cost, fixed cost also. So how will Meru margin, look from here, from the range of 12%? That's my first question.
Yeah. Every month our capacity is increasing. Order book is also increasing. And it will go increasing. So the margin should be around 15% with this.
Abhijit, I would like to add that the guidance given for Meru, at least the internal target, what we have is to bring them to the 15% level before we scale up to the next level. The next year guidance would be focused on how much of GIS that we are able to pull through the system and the export markets. The export markets take time. We had got into Israel far easier in the first quarter. In the last quarter, we got into markets like Denmark. And Denmark is one of the Western European markets, very tough to get in, and still we are able to pull through. We are also expecting some fax and HVDC related orders even for Meru. We are also developing some products like surge capacitors for GIS. Again, a new product portfolio. If you can see the portfolio matrix in the presentation, it gives you an idea of what we are working on and what would give us the future. And the current focus is to bring them to the 15%.
Understood, sir. Just repeating the previous participant's query on this commercialization of GIS instrument transformer business. I could not get the part, do we expect that to commercialize by Q2 FY27? Is that what you said?
our guidance was when we had signed the collaboration is that we try to bring the product within 1 year, what we say for the product profile. Now, once we bring the product is normally, it has to pass all the tests and qualifications and then we go to the market. Now, the market acceptability and the speed at which it is able to accept it would actually is a variable here. But Shaosong is a $17 billion conglomerate. They are one of the largest GIS manufacturers in the world. Including in India, they have a lion's share of the market. We are trying to piggyback on their market share to be able to ensure that the customer is receiving the product faster rather than putting, hurdles on the, on incoming barriers. And the Make in India would help us, what we say, push it through in the Indian context at least.
Right. So, sir, is it that we are first trying to penetrate into the domestic market for GIS instrument transformers? And then subsequently, maybe we would look to, for international geographies as well. Is that the strategy, like at least for the start?
It is quite funny, but normally when you develop a high voltage electrical equipment, you don't run to India because India, the regulatory parameters and the moat of the utilities is so large that it would take us a few years to even get into a 220 kV or a 400 kV level, and what we are trying to develop is a 765 kV. So what we intend to do is, we try to first smuggle ourselves into Africa, then LATAM, and then get into some places in Europe before coming to India. But in this case, GIS is also bought a lot by industries now, because GIS technology reduces the footprint of a substation by 5 times. And as more and more substations are coming up, or because of the power, you can generate more power, but you cannot generate more space in urban centers or, in a lot of other locations, even traction. That is where the GIS is coming in, and there the moat is much lower. So when you bring a high voltage product, you have to be very careful on moat. So also being a global company, we would also look at some global opportunities initially before we actually go into, say, utilities like power grid.
Right, sir. And sir, the other question wasn't...
I'm really sorry to interrupt you, sir, but you can rejoin the queue for more questions. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management will be able to address questions from all the participants in the conference, kindly limit the question to 2 questions per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue. Our next question comes from the line of Akshay from AK Investment. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. First of all, congratulations for the great set of numbers. Am I audible, sir?
Yes, Mr. Akshay, you're audible.
Yeah. Okay, sir. My first question is that you have already given the guidance of 750 to 800 crore for this financial year. So, for the long term, over the next 4 to 5 years, what should be the sustainable top line growth rate we can expect as an investor, and what is the EBITDA margins that we should expect over the next 4 to 5 years?
Thank you, Mr. Akshay. The EBITDA margins should be to the range of 20%. The higher terms have not been indicated yet. We'll come back to you on that part. After the due considerations. Thank you.
Okay, sir.
Akshay, I would like to add that when we give a guidance, we would like to get orders in hand and visibility of orders in hand. I believe as an investor, thank you as an anchor to supporting us. We should be able to give a kind of guidance in the Q4 of this year once we have the true orders and the clearances. And we see a visibility, we would like to always stick to our guidance. That's the discipline we would like to start the relationship with the market.
Yes, fair enough, sir. And sir, my second question is, currently we have an order book of around 830 crore. So what is our current order pipeline over all our subsidiaries? And what are the order inflow we are expecting over the next 1 to 2 years? As we are saying that we have a very huge market and we are anticipating very strong demand for all of our products.
So Akshay, the demand for the electrical equipment is very high, but also the delivery of the electrical equipment.
So when you start opening up the floodgates of an order, you end up in LDs, like what my colleagues in Nehru did in the recent past. They lost more than 2.5 crores in one single order in LDs, because most of the high voltage substations are eventually owned by large utilities and there are penalties on late delivery. Apart from blacklisting if you end up after a certain more time. So we need to be very careful when we are opening up the floodgate of orders. Opening up a floodgate of orders is normally not so difficult. You know, a couple of percentage points in margin, if you reduce the cost, you would typically get a lot more volume than we are already getting in. As I said, we would like our order book not more than a year's time. Most of our orders are fixed cost orders. We do not want to take a much longer term where, you know, our margins are A, under pressure, and B, our supply chain is also at a risk. So by Q4, once we have closed our order and position for the next year, we will give you guidance for the next year. That's why we are holding on to the guidance, but we see aggressive growth for going ahead. That's why we are building the facility.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much, sir, and all the best for the future.
Thank you, sir. Our next question comes from the line of Viraj Mahadevia from MoneyGrow India. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Very excited about your company's performance and the future journey ahead. A couple of quick questions. When you refer to the 20% margin, are you referring to PAT margin or EBITDA? Yeah, that's just minor clarity.
Yeah, it is EBITDA. Hello?
EBITDA. Yeah. Okay. And for the international orders, do you participate in tenders or do you actually have BD personnel stationed in the various markets, particularly larger markets like Europe, to go and interact with the utilities, etc.? Or are you a known enough force where you just participate in tender and you have limited overseas staff?
So, Viraj, we do not have tender-based requests. Normally, we supply to the large EPC or companies like Hitachi, Siemens, GE, Schneider, Saudi Aramco kind of customers. So, these are not tenders per se. We have already approved in over 120 countries. A lot of fieldwork has been done over the last decade where we have gone and got approvals in across utilities. So, we are approved in, say, Denmark, and that is how we were able to pull our friends from Nehru inside. Same way in Finland, we were approved, that's why we blanket for 3 years and we got shunt reactors in Finland. We are approved in large utilities in the US. So, that paid work has in larger markets already been done. What we are trying to do is, in the same marketplace, we are trying to add more product range in the high voltage and the power electronics segment.
Understood. And sir, if obviously order book permitting, and you said you'd give more clarity on it in the next 6 months or few months, do you think you can do a 2,000 to 3,000 crore top line by FY30 once all your capacities are online, assuming the tailwinds continue in the sector? Is that within the realm of possibility?
Viraj, that's a long shot question. I would not like to speculate. However, what I can tell you is the tailwinds at the high voltage, especially for HVDC and FACTS, is going to be there for at least 5 years, if not more. That I am not speculating. Whether are we attempting an aggressive growth pattern? Yes, we believe in it. We are putting into it. Most of the expansion will be funded by the promoter's soft loan of 20 years. So we are putting where the money is, what we are talking and committing. Our growth is not only organic, it's also inorganic. We are also looking at some exciting opportunities in the industry, in the sector. As my colleague Mr. Jayaraman had indicated, the valuation sometimes, you know, the market valuation tend to mirror the public market valuations and companies become very, very expensive. So one of the reasons why we are toning down our aggression on that side. However, we will have some good news, we believe, next 1 or 2 quarters on this side. So, are we in the same trajectory? Yes, but I will not speculate more than that.
Okay, thank you. All the very best.
Thank you, sir. Our next question comes from the line of Aryan Bhatia from Invesco. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir, am I audible?
Yes, sir, you are. But there is a background noise from your end.
Is it clear now?
No, still there is a background noise.
Hello, hello.
No, sir.
Hello,
if you're wearing, if you're wearing Bluetooth or something, if, can you please remove that?
Well, so I will call back to the phone.
Ladies and gentlemen, due to the issue with the connectivity, we'll move forward to the next participant. Our next question comes from the line of Paras Kulkarni from Ingara Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes, sir, you are.
Yeah. So, wanted to touch upon the gross margin. If I see on a year-on-year basis, they have fallen comparatively. So, what factors do you attribute to that? First of all, that's my first question.
Hello. Sir, our gross margin has increased and there is just up and down in the material cost for the short term.
Okay. Secondly, setting up on the previous part, previous call, if you remember, sir had guided that, you know, we have a replacement cycle of 30 years directly for some of our students. So, you know, how do we see the top line growth after, say, let's, after 5-6 years down the line? Because, you know, once this grid modernization, etc. takes place, so,
would
we be in a situation to, you know, continue this kind of
group? So, Parag, the story is a good question. Two things. Even though the equipment takes 30 years to fail, or the design lasts 30 years, but also the manufacturing life cycle is 1 year. So, what typically customers do is at the end of 5 to 7 years, they start buying spares. Because if something goes wrong, you have for a year, you cannot have a great shutdown. So, does not mean spares are not a part of our business, point one. Point two, in the last 5 years, we have been building a lot of 220 kV and 400 kV lines in our country, talking about our country. Now, the 220 kV lines are being upgraded to 400 and 400 being upgraded to 765, primarily because the amount of power to be transmitted has increased. So, even though the equipment has a design life of 30 years, the way our country and most of the developing world is growing is ensuring that every 10 to 15 years of the entire ecosystem, the entire lines are being changed or upgraded. So that is happening. If there are other large markets in Europe and America, the grids are World War II, most of it. So these kind of grids and sites, it will take 50 or 70 years to replace, not 2 or 3 years. Because these are massive grids. So if you look at a country like America, by geography, I think they are more than twice or thrice if you take Alaska as a, along with America from the volume perspective. So when you have to put a transmission infrastructure, they have to take 3 times more in timeline. So I don't think the transmission infrastructure is going anywhere in the next decade or so. There can be some small demand cycles up and down on the medium voltage segment in terms of energy generation or consumption. However, whatever generation we do, we still need to transmit, irrespective whether it's a nuclear reactor, renewable or non-renewable. And with the more and more being produced, the transmission infrastructure is no longer able to take care of it. So that is why the upgradation is happening, even the grids which have been installed 5 years back.
Okay, understood. And if I just one more question, especially touching down upon the gross margin side again. So do we see any kind of improvement or volatility going ahead given the fact that, you know, the silver and copper prices are volatile and, you know, have increased considerably in last 1 or 2 quarters? Just one clarification.
So copper and aluminium going up and down is a part and parcel of this business because, you know, one quarter it goes up, in the next quarter it goes down. So the cyclicity is normal and it is normally factored in. What is also of due consideration is that the raw material supply chain in this country is locked already for 2 years. When I say what is raw material, anything, be it inserters, be it CTC cables, be it all critical components.
So what is happening is people are putting raw materials, including us. So when you import it, you not only have the cost of the raw material in dollars, you also end up paying import duty and freight on it, along with the new regulatory requirements of BIS. So these are short-term impacts, I would say, in a quarter-on-quarter basis. But a lot of stuff is also happening, including us. We are reverse integrating wherever we feel is going to be the bottleneck. The HVDC magnet wire capacity, we should be able to have the first stage of capacity filling about 30% of our demand by Q3 of next year. So we are also trying to minimize. Maybe one or two quarters we may get hit, but once we go in-house, we may again start improving on it. Again, the copper and aluminum prices, as you know, is linked not only to the NME, it's also linked to the dollar. And the dollar is also linked to geopolitical situation. Reasons why we try to hedge it is A, increasing our export share so that part of imports is also hedged by exports, and also trying to ensure our order book is not more than 12 months in such a way that our hit is not prolonged.
Okay, understood.
Thank you, Karan.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Pritesh Sheda from Lucky. Please go ahead.
Sir, in the 800 crore revenue, what is the assumption of menu in this and what will be the utilization?
Very good afternoon, sir. Nehru, we are anticipating slightly north of 300 crore. Utilization of all our facilities is already at 100% and above.
So in the 800 crore, Nehru is 300 crore.
Between 700 crore what we guide, between 700 and 800 crore what we guided, we are, Meru is positioned to be about 300 crore plus.
Okay. And Meru was supposed to have some capacity expansion, right? Because when you bought the asset, it was at a certain revenue possibility of 250 crore and there was some debottlenecking. So what happened there?
So the equipments have been ordered. Every month the equipments are being installed as we are trying to make more and more spaces. I think we should be able to get about 45% more capacity of the same facility by March. But it is not 45% at the end of the March. It is not a greenfield expansion. It is inside the expansion where we shifted a lot of operations to a warehouse storage and we are creating the storage spaces into factory. So that is why we are seeing from last quarter they had a number of I think close to 60 crores to this quarter close to 79 crores. This is the incremental stuff that is helping us. We could have done slightly better more if we had more raw materials.
So basically Q2 means the Meru revenue is 79 crores. And that is construed to be 100% capacity utilization or not construed at 100%?
So after that, again, we are adding, as I said, we are adding capacity every month. So as we keep on adding capacity, the capacity next month starts improving.
So as of now, let's say it is 80 into 4, so about 320 crores. And that's why you put Meru at 300 crores in FY26 and 100%. And then you keep on adding capacity incrementally, right?
Correct. Along and the next, okay. We have the GIS also, because in the same capacity, instead of adding more machines of the same AIS, we have also ordered machines GIS project. So while we are excited about the amount of orders we are getting on the AIS segment, we should also not forget that the higher margins and higher entry barriers are also in the GIS segment. So a portion of our factory, in spite of the revenue pressures, we have allocated for the GIS project.
This is also within Meru.
Yes, the instrument transfer product line is more or less consolidated at a high voltage level at Meru. In the medium portion, we still do at Quality Power a little bit.
Okay. And I did not understand your comment on the margin, overall margin change. From your presentation, you know, it's like we see last 3 years numbers that you have put. FY24 was 20%, FY25 is 30%. I think there was some consolidation on Meru here in FY25. Now, when you look at the first half, it is 25, and when you someone is asking you on the guidance, you are saying 20. So, since the volatility is substantial, what should we comprehend from these variations in margin from year to year and your guidance?
So, the guidance is on the total consolidated balance sheet rather than a division level. At Quality Power and Endox, we have guided to a 25% margin. We did not change from that. At Nehru, we are increasing the margin as we speak. You can see some improvements every quarter. Apart from it, we have Sukrut coming in again at a very low margin. So when we start consolidating balance sheet and consolidating numbers, it may look varying up and down. The correct way to look at it is a PAT or a PBT.
So maybe you want to give the PBT then. And when I'm referring to your number, I was actually referring to your consolidated number only. That's 524.
At our individual companies which we have owned for more than five years, say Quality Power, Endox and all, we are higher than 25% in all the companies.
Okay.
Our intention in the next 2 to 3 years is
sorry, we lost you. Hello?
Team management.
Hello? Hello? Sorry. The line got dropped.
We lost you.
Yeah. Our intention for us in Nehru is also to bring them to the similar margin levels in about 3 to 4 years' time. So each company over a period of 3 to 4 years in the consolidation cycle will go into a high margin business. But when we buy companies, we don't normally get very large margin businesses. That's one of the reasons why we are guiding the markets to slightly lower margin. That's all.
So just trying to understand, even I can understand a standalone number. Which is basically the oil product business, which is about 30% margin.
Yes.
You have done 20.
You were wrong, please.
Hello.
You were wrong.
There's some disturbance here. Hello. There is 25% margin in H1. So this 25 and your 20 comments, if you could just tell from that angle.
Sir, I don't think there is a problem with our standard businesses. Those businesses continue to operate. What we are giving is a consolidated number of 20% and not individual standalone business of 20%.
Yeah, but your H1 is 25. So I am just trying to understand what is that 25, nothing else.
Yeah, so our intention is always to keep it slightly conservative.
Okay. Okay. No. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Our next question comes from the line of Yeshwardhan Banka from Tiger Assets. Please go ahead.
Hello. Audible?
Yes, you are.
Sir, on the export front, from which side are we facing maximum tailwinds? Like, from which country, if you can just specify?
If you look at the amount of tenders that we are bidding, it's in the US for some of our product lines. Europe is where we are getting the maximum amount of orders, Europe and Australia. Indian market is there, but as I said, in Indian market, we have problems with regard to geopolitics. As in, we cannot use a lot of Chinese material in the Indian market because of regulations, which means that even though there are orders that is available, you do not have the supply chain to execute on time. So we would see the growth markets to be Europe, Australia, Middle East and Southeast Asia. Next would come India, and if all the tariffs and all the negativity around it goes off, then it would be the US would be the number one market.
Understood. And sir, secondly, what is that one risk that you are very, aware and cautious about moving from here?
always it, what keeps us awake in the night is Chinese, because Chinese are not working on margins. They are working on, global domination. So when you as a profit-making enterprise are fighting Chinese at a global level who are not focused on profit rather than volume, your biggest threat as a profit-making enterprise is those guys, kind of guys. One of the reasons why we expanded capacity, why we went backward integration, is to be getting closer to the Chinese of being the cheapest producer across the world. And if we are able to achieve that at some point, including the technology, I think we are in safe hands. We are not worried about the domestic competition or the European or American. We always assume that we need to be the fittest against the Chinese.
Okay, that's all, sir. Congratulations and all the best.
Thank you, sir. Our next question comes from the line of Akshay Tiwari from Asit C. Mehta Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, when I look at the consolidated balance sheet, in the trade receivable, there has been increase from 136 crore in FY25 to 207 crore. That's a substantial increase. So just wanted to understand why has there been such an increase in the trade receivables. Also, just wanted some color on the non-current assets and current assets, because there has been increase on those front as well.
Sir, can you repeat your question?
Yeah. So when I look at the consolidated balance sheet, trade receivables has gone up from 136 to 207 crores.
Trade receivables.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So, sir, as sales has been increased, so trade receivables has been increased over all the subsidiary level.
Okay. Any particular business that has attributed such an increase?
No, it is both the Quality Power and our subsidiary, and both subsidiaries. It is all put three together. Based on incremental sales, and this receivables also has increased.
Okay, so in the long term, do we expect it to normalize, or will it be at such a level only?
In the future, we will remain at the same level for the net current assets.
Actually, the trade receivables are fluctuating based on what kind of customer we are handling in which subsidiary. So with private customers, it's normally cash and carry. With some of the larger utilities or larger steam projects, what our colleagues in Endox taken, you have the 10 or 15% retention money till the end of commissioning. So that sometimes increases spike volume. However, our discipline internally, including at Nehru, that we have enforced right now, 60 days end of the month for 99% of the customers. Hello?
Alright, so I see there is a connectivity issue. We'll move forward to the next participant. Our next participant comes from the line of Kushal K. Please go ahead.
Hello, can you hear me, sir?
Loud and clear, Kushal.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for the opportunity. Last quarter, we mentioned that there was some, interest, which there was a minor correction in the limited review of the profit loss account, and 1Q profits controlling interest, which were reported to be 31 crore, but the correct figure was 19.37 crore. Can you please clarify on this point about last quarter, because your updated numbers do not reflect, the 19 crore number as well for Q2. The Q1 numbers are still, in the 30s range.
Certain number.
Sir. We will check and come back to you for this issue, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Our next question comes from the line of Pritesh Sheda from Lucky. Please go ahead.
So just from growth perspective, so we'll have capacity which will come this year and next year via Meru for our growth. And when should the coil factory become operational?
Sir, the public guidance at the moment is end of second quarter 2026, June 2026.
Okay, so it will get operational and then you will have the built-up of orders. Or will you have a built-up of orders before that?
We would start at the beginning of second quarter, we would start taking the orders in because the table for time for getting the raw material is about 2 to 3 months, which means that it would allow us the time to settle. So we presume that Q2 of next year is when we open the floodgate of orders for the capacity.
And we will see commercial revenue booking for that from Q2 as soon as you start the execution.
No, the cycle time is about 6 to 9 months, so I believe end of the year.
Okay, okay. And will there be a pre-committed, will there be a situation where there can be some pre-committed orders or pre-committed customers for this factory?
Currently, no.
But is there a possibility?
At the relevant time, once the factory is ready, then we can talk about capacity allocation to certain customers. At this moment, we would like to have the demand and supply skew more towards demand and supply before we talk partnerships to critical customers.
Okay. And my last question is, until this coil factory comes up, and your lot of growth is linked very. So what kind of incremental capacity addition over and above this 300? You mentioned 45%, right? So basically another 150-200 crores of value of capacity gets added in Meru. Is that correct?
I agree, sir. Between 450-500 crores would be the max capacity at Meru once the capex and opex is done right.
Okay. And between your IPO and now, you have done one acquisition in a new product line for a transformer accessory, which I can see from your presentation. So, that particular piece of business, what can it add to your revenue?
So, we would not be fully consolidating them because it's more of a JV with Yash High Voltage, so it's about 50% of what they do. The current revenues of this year is anticipated to be about 28 crores at Suprut,
okay.
which is minor from that perspective of a larger balance sheet. But what they bring together is about in excess of 1,000 customers in the transform business. We have certain product lines inside which we are developing, including magnet wires and stuff like that. Once our internal demand is fulfilled in about 2 or 3 years' time, at that time, this customer base of transformer would help us push through these magnet wires also into the other categories. So what we have actually bought is the customers. The numbers, what would even if it goes down to say 3x or 4x in the next 3 or 4 years, still at the parent level, this would be a smaller consolidation. But what is more important strategically for us is the access to customers, a new set of customers.
Okay. Okay. Done.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Akshay Tiwari from Asisi Mehta Investment. Please go ahead.
Thank you again for the opportunity. So I just wanted to understand that in the long run, in the Meru business, there will be GIS as well as instrument transformers. What shall be the mix of GIS and Meru, GIS and instrument transformers in the Meru subsidiary? Maybe by FY27 or maybe by FY28.
Akshay, a very forward-looking question. We are excited about the birth of the GIS product line. However, it will be too early for us to tell you that it will be 50-50 or 30-40. The market acceptability of the product in such a quick period is something that we would wish for. However, the mix of a product for us in a factory is divided by which product has the highest profitability. To give you a kind of a limelight, we can make a 220 kV power transformer in our current factory, the new one that is coming up. The question is whether a transformer allows us a 25-27% margin, or should I give it to what we say a product which takes a better margin. So the whether GIS or AIS will have a larger capacity allocation in 27-28, I think will be purely driven by the market forces. A, that does not mean that we will not invest in strategy. I would still say that yes, there will be a lot more focus on GIS.
Got it. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, sir. Our next question comes from the line of Paras Kulkarni from Ingara Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. And for the follow-up opportunity, just wanted to get a clarification on the capacity utilization. You know, may I know the capacity utilization at a consolidated level as of 2Q?
That's my first question. 100%, my dear friend. Every day we are trying to find some corner in the factory where we can install machine, add people and facilities. So we have turned every location where we could find every factory. So any incremental capacity is not being left around.
Okay. And sir, when do we expect our current order backlog to get completed?
As I guided earlier, that our order book is normally not more than 12 months time is what your active interest is.
Okay, so by 2Q, in FY27, we expect the current order
backlog.
You know,
yeah. It's not 100%, at least 95%.
Okay, understood.
Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions from the participant, on behalf of Quality Power Electrical Equipments Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.